Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
And welcome to the food scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel, here today with Joe Beef, though who is a man is not the two men in the studio, joined by Fred Moran. Is that decent? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, it's all right. And Dave McMillan.
Not as bad as I smashed your name.
Yeah, what did you say?
Harlan Markle Turkel.
I love that. I love that. That's going to be my new pen name.
Herkel.
Yeah, just MHT. Do the acronym. It's the easiest. Joe Beef is a phenomenon right now. Small little place in Little Burgundy in Montreal, which I just found out was quite a little area prior to you guys moving in. But is the destination of the Northeast at the moment, and seemingly will be for a long time.
We're working hard on totally crushing that so people forget about it as quick and we just get back to doing what we've been doing for a long time. We did a year of book and hype a little bit, but Fred and I are working super hard on destroying the myth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what's a real phenomenon? Jay-Z.
Jay-Z,
not yeah. Joe Beef.
So, yeah, you guys are done in the studio. We'll send you out. We'll bring Jay-Z and Beyonce in. All good.
Jay-Z!
Yeah. You guys are have a little accent on you. Canadian?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Where do you guys grow up?
Fred's from Cartierville. That's in the borough of...
Cartierville, in the north of Montreal.
North of Montreal. It's a very... working-class French-Canadian neighborhood. That's where Fred's from. Across the street from an insane asylum. No less.
Yeah.
And I'm from Montreal's West End.
Yeah. So, Québécois, where is that? Is that defined as someone that's from Montreal, from Quebec City, from...
I say Québécois generally perhaps might be the vernacular for the French-speaking, Québécois of French with the last name, very much like Frédéric Morin is my partner. My name is David Hayfield McMillan. I'm born and raised in the province of Quebec, and, I speak French as well as I do English. I feel, that I'm 100% Québécois. Sometimes there's a little bit of a backlash in our province because we have issues, perhaps sometimes about Francophones thinking they're...
The language police
is very strong, and that upsets me somewhat. I feel, I've been swimming in the St. Lawrence River and drinking the water.
Yeah, the term Québécois was taken over by the French-speaking Quebecers. Although, in reality, David's family has been speaking English in Quebec for, hundreds of years,
Yeah, there is a backlash sometimes towards us, first language Anglophone speakers in the province. That's upsetting somehow, being... I feel as Québécois as, Fred is. Fred's my brother, and I have so many French-Canadian friends. So it depends, Some Québécois will call themselves Québécois with a French last name or of French descent, but I know a lot of Anglophones that feel that they're just as French-Canadian or Québécois as any of the French stock.
Do you feel like there's as distinctly a split Canadian versus Québécois when it comes to cuisine?
What do you mean by cuisine?
There's Montreal cuisine in people's heads. There's smoked meats, there's poutine, that kind of stuff.
That's a Jewish, there's the Jewish
Greek
dynamic. Yeah. You have to understand, though, that the Anglophone speaking community in the province of Quebec is a 10% minority, if that. It could even be 8%. So the province is 95 or 92% French speaking as a first language. And aside from Montreal and the West End, borough, that kind of starts where we are in Little Burgundy, it is a French-speaking, province. The Anglophone part, the food that a lot of people talk about, and we pay homage to both French and English. We cook French food in our minds, but Fred and I pay respect as well to you know, the old Jewish cooking of the Maine, right?
Yeah, and it's not all. We just discovered the big black history of Little Burgundy, where like freed slaves would find freedom in Montreal and actually find paid jobs as cooks because they were highly valued down in the South at that time. But they escaped and they were chased and they made it in Canada where they were freed. And actually, the Canadian justice never allowed a slave chaser to cross, you know, to do business in Canada.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that we never talk about, you know, that land of freedom, that kind of southern heritage up in Montreal. There's the Greeks in Montreal. Most of the Jewish delis were owned by Greeks at a certain point. You know, there was a thing in Montreal.
So there's like no one true heritage lineage to...
Well, there's the French cooking, you know, there's the French sugar shack cooking.
Yeah.
And then there's traditional French cuisine.
Yeah.
But I think a true Montreal cuisine will be like a little bit of that rustic old farmhouse French cooking. And then mixed in with a little bit of Jewish and a little bit of Italian.
In a steakhouse.
Yeah. You know, so it's kind of, that's what it is, I think, for us.
Yeah. I mean, what dishes did you grow up eating? What were Sunday suppers? What were, you know, school meals?
I ate baked beans all the time.
Yeah, me too, with Franks.
And I always ate crepes, and we always had fat-back bacon. And, you know, we've never had Canadian bacon growing up. We don't even know what it is, really.
Yeah, it's just
vol-au-vent.
Yeah.
Lots of vol-au-vent.
Is that just puff pastry and...
Yeah, with chicken a la king.
Yeah.
My favorite dish is a dish my mom used to make. I think it's an American dish, broccoli. Possibly. Chicken divan, which is bechamel cooked chicken with broccoli and cauliflower and then cheese on top.
Oh, that's like doing quinella scolfaire, you know, just cooking in cream.
Yeah? Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah. So, I mean, were these foods that you ate all the time? Were they for special occasions?
I just realized after a while that my parents were not that rich, right? So I was wondering, why we ate like rice cooked with tomato paste and wieners, you know, and I just realized it wasn't like they didn't make a lot of money. The fifth year I worked in a restaurant in my life, I was making more than my dad when he retired, you know. Same for you, right?
Yeah, same, absolutely.
So I understand why we had like bouillon cube velouté, chicken velouté with like leg or two in there. And
we have a stock, there's a powdered stock. It's actually a liquid stock called Bovril in the province of Quebec. And I remember like playing long time outside in the snow, and my grandmother would say, come on in the house and you're going to have a cup of Bovril now. And a cup of Bovril was just hot water with like
chicken stock
black
bouillon,
black bottled salty sodium bouillon. And we'd drink that as tea after playing outside.
That was the ad on the radio, on the TV.
Yeah.
Come in and take your...
You know, French Canadians are funny too, because a lot of French Canadians think that, like, smoke meat?
Yeah.
But that's French Canadian.
Yeah.
You know, or smoked meat, it's like a big deal. Like, you know, the smoked meat's famous all through the province.
Yeah, still with Celine Dion.
Nobody's ever, you know, the Jewish community is up in the Mile End of Montreal. It's tiny, you know, but you can have smoked meat, you know, 800 miles in the up north from the Mile End and bagels.
Yeah, it was like we tasted that for a TV show there. There's like 30 kinds of like smoked meat you can buy in a grocery store and like warm in your house.
Yeah.
It's like a household good.
You know, it's a big French Canadian dish as well. This funny dish. Elbow macaroni.
Yeah.
With shredded roast pork and soy sauce.
Shredded roast pork. That sounds too good. It's with like my mom used to make it with ground beef and uncooked celery. Yeah,
exactly.
That's even worse.
But there'd be restaurants, you know, you'd be driving by and, you know, in Kamouraska or the countryside outside of Montreal, and you'd see a restaurant called
Mets Chinois.
Mets Canadien.
Yeah.
Canadian food.
Yeah.
But in French.
Yeah.
But Canadian food is like ham with pineapple, elbow macaroni with soy sauce.
Calf liver.
Egg rolls.
Yeah.
Steer liver.
Yeah. No, the young calf, bouvillon, foie de jeune bœuf.
Yeah, young beef.
Old veal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that still exists, you know. You still run into that.
Macaroni chinois.
Well, I mean, even with like, you know, Au Pied de Cochon reviving the cabana souk.
I want to say that book is, if you've not seen that book, I think it's one of the...
The book and the restaurant and the sugar shack. Yeah.
Martin Picard just went, you know, I've always loved Martin. Fred and I are like, you know, he's our brother. I recently decided like 2 weeks ago after eating there for the second time this year that he's not only another restaurant in Montreal, but I think he's one of the 10 most important chefs in the world. by far, you know, like I consider Martin Picard today more important than Michel Bras, Georges Blanc, any three Michelin star restaurant in France.
If you ask me, more than Noma.
Like, you know, it's just the sad thing is, and he's in Saint Benoit de Mirabel.
Yeah, but it's on a fucking farm. There's pigs living in the forest.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh,
he doesn't make a fuss.
I got ran after by a ram last week. I went to feed the pigs in the pen. A ram took a run at me.
You know what I did? Last fall, we were there in the fall with David, and I drove a backhoe.
Yeah,
yeah, for like half an hour. That was my favorite thing. Martin went down with his tractor, and on the forklift, he brought two couches. For us to sit in the woods.
We roasted a pig in the forest.
Oh, in the middle of the woods.
With Baloo.
That's with a little surreal. I mean, because the Cabana Souk, and I only want to touch on him because I want this to be about you guys too. You know, Cabana Souk has such a clear vision, not only of Matanz, but of what it is and, you know, the food that it serves. And what Joe Beef also does has such a clear vision of...
Oh, maybe for you, but I'm still...
it's a little blurry-eyed, but it's such a clear vision of the two of you coming together, your paths, you know, joining and showing not just, you know, French-Canadian cuisine, not just Montreal food, but showing...
It's a restaurant that was opened by two burnt-out chefs on antidepressants that didn't want to hear from anybody anymore. We still have a hard time with authority or anybody telling us what to do, whether it be
customers like eating, too.
But you wanted to cook for people who what?
For people who want to eat. For people to just... Yeah, exactly. Well, don't take themselves too seriously either at the end of the day.
And maybe also we're generous and or insecure, but Joe Beef is a more...
We're very concerned about everybody leaving the restaurant
happy. It's not calculated.
That's our biggest thing.
Yeah.
It's not a calculated plate restaurant. There's too much in there.
And as a business, it doesn't make sense financially. It's absolutely stupid.
No.
Well, you were talking, too, with today's day and age of everyone coming up to Montreal and saying they're from this association and that association. You've gotten away from cooking for the community a little bit.
Well, you know, it's not our fault. Yeah. People call the restaurant, make reservations on the phone. You know, if
I can't filter.
I can't filter, you know, and I can't profile, and I can't Google search every, you know, name in the book to call them back and say they can't come because they're a chef coming on they're from a restaurant group from Chicago doing an R&D weekend because they're about to open this restaurant that's a lot like ours in Chicago. You know, that's a little bit of a burn, you know, like. People are blatant today. They, you know, they come to the restaurant with high-powered cameras, take pictures of the food, and tell you to your face that this is a really good dish, that they'll most likely be doing it in this new restaurant they're opening up in Chicago.
Or they let you know very, very strongly that they'll be in your restaurant tomorrow, so what should they eat? Not to be like...
Because they don't want to miss anything because they are on an R&D weekend.
And they really want you to know that it's tomorrow at 7:30 for four under that, you know?
Yeah.
But what I don't really
freebies.
Get... And it makes me feel crazy sometimes, is I wouldn't want to eat your food outside of Joe Beef.
Same.
And it's not just about, you know, having dish... after dish of smoked, you know, fish from the smoker and back coming, or crazy, you know, eggs and gelée. It's just that the space itself speaks so much of you guys and what you want to do. And I mean, the flavors are amazing.
You know, we're here at Roberta's. And I look at Roberta's as I sit here right now. I'm staring at this little terrace room.
Kindred soul.
Yeah. And the food is appropriate to the room, you know. Now, if they started hammering out square plates in here of swooshed food, and, you know, like, it just would look stupid. It wouldn't be academically interesting, you know, whereas, you know, you have to maybe smoke a joint once in a while across the space that you're about to open to. For real.
Yeah.
You know, we
favor peyote.
We looked at Joe Beef closely, you know, and said, what the fuck are we going to do here? And Fred's, you know, we both said, we're going to do these. You know, that place begs for this glass, that plate, this banquette. The chairs have to be like that. The bar has to be like this. The menu's got to be on a chalkboard.
Multiplied.
And this is the food. This space shall never have soy sauce in it.
Multiplied by we're a bit lazy, so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, your background's too in cooking. Well, I was reading that, Fred, you used to work at Marché Jean Talon.
Yeah.
Selling peppers and
onions. That's from agriculture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 3 years in ag school.
So, in ag school, I mean, obviously, you were very keen on market.
Smoking pot and...
well, I was going to say herbs as well, but market. Yeah. farm to table.
Oh, yeah.
And,
but the farm to table thing is like an obvious thing, right? we're a bit. You'll read our menu nowadays at Joe Beef is, but actually for. Since Joe Beef's open, you won't see like farmer's name or everything like that. You know, it goes without saying that it's from a farm as much as we can.
We've been working for 20 years. I don't think that we need to wave the flag of every goat cheese producer, beef producer, pork producer. We're not going to bore you to tears about heritage breeds.
Yeah,
just take it on our word and our 20 years experience. That we're doing the best we can,
and it's an obvious thing, right? I'm not sitting here with you saying like, you know what. I'm not killing you right now.
Yeah.
I like to remind you that I'm not killing you. You know, fuck, it's this... Like, trust me, you walk in, it's $45, you know?
Yeah.
Look at my car in the back. It's a 1999 Volvo, okay? So trust me that the money goes in your plate.
Yeah. No, it's no doubt that there's quality as well as quantity. But there's, like you said, trust. So it's like a trusted network. Why wouldn't you, after so many years of you guys being in the industry, putting out the food you want to... put out and all the accolade and
I don't want the waiters, I want the customers to come at the restaurant and talk to each other about how hard they're gonna have sex later. I don't want them to come to the restaurant and the wait staff or the sommeliers sommeliers to talk about wine tasting like this and being from Mount Etna and blah blah blah, and this guy's crazy and he has a beard and he's a naturalist. Like, I don't want the waitress and waiters to start talking about the boys bought this pig that only ate acorns, and it's a Tamaglio breed. But I don't want to hear any of that.
Yeah,
I want to hear it's pork with mushrooms. Even that.
Yeah,
that, I don't even want which mushroom is it? Fuck off.
It's pork.
Yeah. So it's almost it's like a steak. Those math statements where you have the given, you know, and all that information is already assumed.
Yeah, turn left. You don't
steak with tomatoes and spinach.
Yeah,
or it's pork with fiddlehead greens and ramps.
Yeah,
where are the ramps from? Fuck off.
Not important.
From the kitchen.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, come back talking to the boys of Joe Beef, and actually find out who Joe Beef really was. You've been listening to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel, here with Fred and Dave of Joe Beef Restaurant from Montreal. We were just talking about salt and pepper cooking. I'm just going to dive right into it. Guys like Alain Chappelle, Bocuse,
Blanc,
George Blanc from, Burgundy.
Louis Outier.
Yeah. Who were these guys, and what kind of influence did they have on you? What kind of techniques did you take away from them?
You'll look at a career like Alain Chappelle and look at more or less like the basis of all of his recipes, and you'll kind of like realize that, there's nowhere in any book does it say ginger, turmeric, curry. It's always season the meat, roast the meat properly. Now in a large copper skillet, add the onions. The carrot, the onion, the celery, add chicken A, B, or veal stock, or C, wine, or B, D, red wine, or E, vermouth, or, the cooking's always viticulturally almost based, and the food is always carrot, onion, celery basis. So at the end of the day, the food is made you know, it's almost that minestrone flavor capacitor, you know? The wine is the food is also made to always just taste perfectly delicious with red and white wine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we chose it. It's our roots, too. That's what we ate. We said earlier we ate French food, you know, whether it's bechamel and chicken.
Our mothers both always cooked carrot, onion, and celery, right?
My mom's from Belgium, so that's the base of everything we ate, a stew, a pâte au feu, and everything. Plus, if you're going to sit down with wine, I find it still, you know, it's okay. There's a Gewürztraminer with curry and this and that. I find it very unsatisfying to have wine with any other food than French food.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to have a nice steak frites, with that fits wine. If I'm going to have, like, a lapin à la moutarde, that fits wine. But when you start, I even go as far as saying hamburger and pizza and everything. It's not for me. It's not, I don't feel it as much. Make me a nice coq au vin and a cocotte sealed with like dough.
Yeah,
and with like little poached rice with marrow a little bit. I'm just gonna like have this
almost
epiphany.
Pathetic. The lowest scoring Beaujolais you can get.
Yeah,
you know, like an 82 point Beaujolais. With what he just described, it's like that's a meal.
And yeah, then you taste, you know what you taste in that dish? You taste lots of tarragon, lots of chervil, lots of shallots, lots of. It's not pointy flavors, you know. It's pretty round, pretty delicious, pretty beautiful, pretty simple. But you know, I find
always that, satisfying. You'll never go wrong.
So it's not even cooking for pairing at a point. It's like just cooking to complement. You know, something that will not only just bring out the flavors, but you're not like trying to create another flavor.
Seriously,
profile.
It's cooking to make my mouth happy.
Yeah,
you never have to. A lot of chefs run astray where you always have to remember that as much food as you sell, you always sell alcohol.
Yeah,
you know, if you sold $100 per person, you're definitely 50% of that is food and 50% of that is wine. You can't get a side of yourself as a chef and just really start going into flavors without really consulting, you know, the other part of what's going on in the restaurant is people are there drinking as well.
Yeah.
It's important that everything is cohesive.
And it's not a misnomer that you guys are in Little Burgundy with the French list that you have. One, it's easier to get French wine into Canada, yeah?
Quebec has a long history of drinking French wine. You know, us think the New World, still to this day, has never made really any inroads into the moral majority of wine drinkers. You know, California came and went, Australia came and went fast. You know, and even the Canadian wines have trouble making inroads in the province of Quebec unless, you know, the wines are made by winemakers with a strong apprenticeship in France or a French palate. You know, the people just can't deal with high alcohol and oak-laden wines. It doesn't work with the traditional values of the cooking.
But same goes for the food, too. It's the light touch, you know, the nut.
It's the restraint sometimes, you know?
Yeah. It's funny, you know, we were just looking at that other cookbook outside, and do people assume that all you do is serve, you know, foie double downs?
We made it for that purpose because, you'd see, I make a...
Even our local food writers assume that. Oh my God, Joe Beef, those guys are too meat heavy.
Yeah.
The fact is like, we sell, like, so many there's, like... For any given night, there's four or five vegetarian appetizers.
Yeah.
And that's what we really sell the most of, you know?
Well, I mean, and you have the smoker in back, too.
And we have the garden.
And the garden.
It's the double down came about because we just had, at a certain point, that rabbit dish that I described, like a blogger with a giant camera would just go and have it and go like, meh, you know? It wasn't...
A double down is Fred's idea of building the perfect lure to catch the most fish.
Yeah.
And in this case... He came out with it, and it has been the ultimate hook. We've had articles.
Yeah, CNN,
CNN, New York Times, Philadelphia Inquirer, San Francisco. Like, we've had so many national articles from one dish, but it kind of makes you wonder about the sad state of food, you know? Is it really like the great rate? Whatever happened to finesse? Why is everything becoming high-end junk food?
Yeah.
So Fred building the double down... And selling it in the restaurant and having had so much media attention with it is a testament perhaps to, you know, the naivete of a lot of food
of the
writers.
Public, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody writes articles about our Lèvre la Royale.
Yeah.
No one.
No.
Yeah.
And that's French cooking.
Or the purée de pommes de terre, or this or that, or the, you know.
Or Cheval.
La pain à la moutarde.
Yeah. I mean, internationally, nationally here, horse is not served. There's been a small push for people to try to get that meat, you know, in restaurants in the U.S. You serve Cheval at the restaurant.
But it's, again, it goes with our culture. It's the French culture.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's not shocking. Like, if I put a beefsteak in front of you, and a horse tenderloin in front of you, and a beef tenderloin in front of you,
I could,
and a glass of Merlot and a glass of Cabernet Sauvignon, and I told you, tell me which one is Cabernet and which one is Merlot,
I couldn't,
and which
even
one is horse and beef.
Yeah,
you couldn't tell me.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's the great myth that horse is beef with a different face.
Yeah,
it's not like when we call the butcher, he can say, "Well, beef tenderloin this week is $26.99." And I go, well, how much is horse? He goes, it's $23.99. But the week after, it could be different. The horse could be more expensive than the beef the week after.
Yeah.
So it's just, that's what that is.
So, I mean, what dishes would you want patrons to try in Joe Beef that they don't often
the horse,
eat?
You know, we have a horse steak with like Café Paris sauce, an old French sauce with like livers sautéed in cream cognac, lots and lots of mustard. Again, all the herbs, all the green soft herbs, the Finn's herb, that's delicious.
I like
delicious.
The rabbit sausage that we do in the smoker.
Yeah.
And I like when people say, I want to eat everything out of the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah, the green plus salad in the summer.
Plus
the
200 aioli. Grams of protein.
Yeah, yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. What are you growing this year? What's going to be?
It's not started yet.
What do you have?
Lots of
salad, tomatoes.
Yeah, lots of
beans.
This year I'm going to put less beans, less Swiss chard, and less of the things that I... Swiss chard. I'm tired of Swiss chard.
It's a myth. Nobody eats it.
Yeah.
You see places, it's truly, truly, they boil it down into a stuffing, into like it's the urban gardener's dream plant, you know?
I think it should just be a herb, like a plant that lives outside.
Yeah, tomatoes are good, though. When we get them, they're good. The little sun gold there.
Yeah.
I like them. We have rhubarb. We have a few cherries. We have a few... There's tons of things. You know what I really like? All the herbs. Every night at 5:45, the cooks go out with scissors and bowls, and it's like a... It's like a wet dream, you know, they go out in the garden and they cut their herbs. And the food does feel fresher in the summer because of those herbs that never seen the fridge.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of the cooking is much more towards the raw during the summer too, just because of the freshness of the ingredient.
Yeah. And like the aioli, for example, we take all the most vegetables from the garden, barely trimmed anything with a nice aioli.
Or Banyakuda lobster, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, that's the best.
Yeah.
Like a boiled lobster, cold, cut in four pieces, and all the raw vegetables from the garden with that delicious Banyakuda dressing. Like, what else do you want?
So, I mean, are there things that you want to eat that you don't have on the menu that you hope to be able to put on the menu? Because it seems like you're cooking for yourselves, you know, not first, but foremost.
He cooks the food that more or less, like, that I want to eat, or Allison, our partner, his wife, wants to eat.
Yeah.
Or it's saying, you know, but then once in a while he'll go off the chain and do other things.
It's rare nowadays. You know what, I'm ashamed to say, but when I was down south, I had some tuna, line caught tuna over in Barbados, and I really enjoyed that. And I think we maybe ostracized tuna a little bit, and you won't see it because it passed the cool factor.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fishes like that passed the cool factor.
Like swordfish.
Yeah, maybe, but not well. Even I've had a bad experience many times with swordfish. Yeah. But David eats tuna. We enjoy that sometimes, you know. And we don't even serve it at the restaurant.
Feels so much pressure to, like, you know, work sustainable fish. Da 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 da.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
You know, it's a bit of a funny situation because we get a sustainable fish dealer, but he's in British Columbia, you know?
Yeah.
So he's a sustainable fish dealer with a huge carbon footprint.
Yeah.
Or this guy that calls me for local quince the other day, but his number's from the north of British Columbia, you know? Like, I'm going to sell you local quince. That's, come on, you know?
Local doesn't mean across the country.
Yeah, well, that goes back to...
geopolitical local, not...
Well, that goes back to, you know... my not wanting to eat Joe Beef outside of Joe Beef. You know,
I talked to Martin about that, just like to say that Martin did a Sugar Shack Pied de Cochon dinner at Canoe Restaurant in Toronto.
Oh, he did it? Yeah.
Which would be like us doing Joe Beef at the Bernardin. It will never work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think the day after, Martin was upset and he was humming and hawing about how bad his food looked in that restaurant. And, you know,
Of course.
It is site appropriate.
Yeah. But always, you know, if we come in here wearing dresses and necklaces, we'll look surely different.
Yeah. Well, people can picture whatever they want since we're on radio.
Yeah. I have a radio body.
about being site specific. I think an excellent, sometimes over, you know, glossed over part of the book, which is amazing. We didn't really even discuss that much, is the train itineraries. Canada has a lot of wonderful sites, a lot of wonderful places to eat. Where do you guys travel during spring, summer, fall?
Well, I travel to BC. I try to put in one train trip a year or two. I've done pretty much all the train trajects, all the trips in Canada. They're redoing, actually, big efforts into redoing the menus and the train cars and everything. I'm trying to get David into that, but...
Oh, man, soon. Like, I've been on a whole bunch of them.
No. A 5 days like trip with me.
The problem is, it's not the train trip, it's 5 days with him.
Yeah.
But I'll wear the dress.
We tend to drink a lot of Vin Blanc and Vin Rouge together.
Yeah.
And yeah. We both don't smoke, unless we're with each other, where we smoke like chimneys for some odd reason.
Le petit cigars.
Maybe it's our repressed feelings for each other.
Yeah. But
I wouldn't call it repressed.
Yeah, especially watching you guys in your dresses right now. It's definitely not repressed. But, I mean, these train trips, there's inspiration around Canada, too, that you don't see in other places.
At least, it's built out of trains, Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
And we cook the food at Joe Beef that we wish we could eat in trains.
Yeah.
You have to understand.
Yeah.
Joe Beef is not much bigger than a train. No, but for
so
real.
Is this place. Like,
yeah.
It's a-
yeah. And Joe Beef, honestly, you know, the aesthetic of the table, or even the booth...
The plateware
is very, you know, the food is very inspired about what we wish we could have. Fuck, both of us would love to have a stuffed, you know, breadcrumb and mushroom and little bacon stuffed liver with some onion red wine sauce.
A perfect Easter ham on Easter if you travel in a train, you know, that's the...
A humble bottle of Bourgogne Rouge.
Yeah,
you know.
But even the graphic design too. Of if we don't have written menus, but even if we did have a printed menu, it would be a train menu from 1955. You know.
Yeah,
you have to see those old menus. We have an archive of several old train menus, and you read a lot of those old train menus. And again, I guarantee you, a lot of restaurants right now that we think are good don't even hold a candle to what used to happen in trains and boats.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and especially it gives merit to America, which always been seen as and said that the food was never good in the States. And you see, like 1934 menus that have like sweet bread with béarnaise and petit pois à la française, you know, and a piece of roquefort from France and real sauterne.
Yeah.
I challenge you to find that meal today, right now in New York, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody brought me the menu from the Titanic the other day, and the 100th anniversary, I think, was last week, right? Or this week?
Yeah.
It's happening. And this guy said, we would have done it, but we have too many reservations in the book. But he said, would you like to recreate? And this isn't the main dining room. This is like the third dining room.
This is the Leonardo DiCaprio dining room.
Yeah. And he brought us a menu. It was just like three apps, three mains, and a couple of desserts. Yeah. And I was like, wow.
Consommé clair. And
you know, like what a beautifully written menu.
But I'll tell you something about boats, about ocean liners like that. You know the whole nose to tail, buying a whole animal? It only makes sense in like resort hotels, like in the mountains of Switzerland or in boats. Because you had those three classes dining room. The first one would get the filet. The second class would get like, you know, the rump steak and stuff like that. And the third class would get the pièce à braiser, you know?
Very much like the original Joe Beef restaurant, our namesake, you know? Joe Beef's restaurant was the ship's captain would come into Joe Beef Tavern and eat a tenderloin steak. Right, and then the second mate might have a piece of rib or strip, and then the poorer people would eat, you know, slices from the leg, you know, roast beef from the leg, and the very poor, who Joe Beef would feed for free, would be more or less eating stews out of the shoulders and neck.
Yeah,
you know, that's so, kind of where that comes from.
So when are you guys going to do a pop-up boat restaurant?
Pop-up boat, pop-up boat, local organic,
yeah.
Transvestite.
It sucks cooking like when you're not with all your toys and your you know, we have all our toys and saws and everything
and
we
people
want.
And things and
minions. And
I mean, would you ever truthfully want to move that restaurant, put it on wheels, put it on train tracks, put it on a boat, and just do that for the rest of your life?
No,
you're just happy.
You should make a pop-up that opens so quickly that nobody comes.
We're just Fred and I are both working on the cottage funds and trying to just leave this city.
Yeah. It's funny because I think people assume a lot of restaurateurs, chefs, get to run around, eat out, but you guys are family guys too.
Yeah.
You know, and you like going home and cooking and eating with your family.
You have to realize in the end, like I said to David earlier, you can hustle like 7 days a week and everything for like 20 years, but okay, what really happens if you're the best? If all the media say you're the best, okay, what happens? You know? You get blowjobs? What is it that you get? You know,
you get to wear a crown? Is it really that cool? Do people carry you around on a throne? Who cares?
No.
I know, but it's wrong.
Yeah.
You like, you look at guys like Gordon Ramsay, a moron, you know, like there's 20 restaurants around the world, lawsuits left, right, and center. You're a joke. You make me not want to cook.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Why do you need 10 restaurants? Why don't you want to practice what you started loving?
Yeah.
You actually love the act of going to the restaurant and seeing his mug and, you know, working with the kids. And I like sweeping around the garbage container at the back of the restaurant as much as I enjoy opening bottles of wine and speaking to customers and closing the restaurant.
It's, yeah.
That's why we're doing this.
We're very, very limited.
If we were woodworkers, I don't think we'd just want to have 20 woodworking shops across Canada.
No.
It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why. What that ambition, where does that come from? Is that ego?
Vanity, self-loathing? vanity. Yeah.
Well, it's trying to be bigger than the place you're most comfortable.
No, it's
in.
Always saying yes. The first trip to the bank you make, they're going to ask you, you're going to ask for 10 grand. Nobody's going to give it to you. 2 years later, after all the articles and everything, guys are going to come and see you. I'm going to sell you the building next door and we can make this and this and that. And you have to say no sometimes.
I'm worried for a lot of our friends that, you know, that spend too much time on planes, that travel. I truly worry about their quality of life. And I feel sorry for our friends that wouldn't experience the wonderful things that I'm experiencing with my two daughters and that he's experiencing with
his
two
boys. Have kids? I didn't have kids so they can wipe my ass in 25 years. Yeah. I had kids so I could spend time with them now.
Yeah.
It's not...
We're both enjoying so much watching our kids grow up. You know, we've been locked in the kitchens for 20 years, don't forget. Since we're 16, we've been working 70 hours a week. And now, you know, he's 35 or 36 or something. I'm 40. I swear to God, both of us never thought we'd have kids.
Yeah.
And the fact that we have them is like a really
especially
giant
not
deal.
in this environment where we had them, where it was not and when we had them, where it was conducive to having kids.
So I think I have to say it's really nice to see you guys here, but it's just that much nicer to see you guys when in Montreal. And that's
you guys suck away from home.
No, but that's the thing. That's the biggest draw for me about Joe Beef. Like you said before, not just the food, but seeing you guys there and seeing you guys live within that space.
Context is everything, man. Like I'm sure if I ate at Noma, it would be delicious. But try to put that in a styrofoam box and eat it in an apartment 2 miles away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you think it makes sense? Or think about any food except pizza and Chinese food in a styrofoam box, Bernardin, Food Tokay, Piet Cochon, you know, and deliver it. It doesn't make sense. Of course, it's context, you know?
Well, I'm glad you guys are thinking outside of the box. And for people that have not been to Montreal, which doesn't seem like many now, it seems like everyone's come up to see you, go again and again and again, be part of the Joe Beef family. Fred and Dave, thank you so much for being here. And hopefully this is not the last time you visit us in Brooklyn.
You're very kind. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel, hoping to have you back here next Tuesday at 3. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.